to spill the LGBT. If you don't like swearing, smut, filth, sexual innuendo, or anything LGBTQI++ related, then please fuck off now. If you're still here, strap on in, pun intended, and enjoy the ride. Sam, how you doing?
I'm okay, thanks, Ellie. How are you?
I am good. So, first up, corrections corner from me, myself and I. So I did say about the IRA doing the bombings at the Admiral, and it's the Admiral Duncan, and it wasn't the IRA, so I don't know where I got that from when I was 16, 17. It was actually neo-Nazis. So apologies. Every day's a school day, and so I just kind of, something in the back of my mind was like, that doesn't feel quite right. So anyway, here we are, hands up. I didn't realise that, and now I do. So my bad. I am learning as well as anyone else in the world. So hands up from me. Cool, so this one, we're thinking of talking about homophobia, transphobia, and kind of hate crimes in general. A bit about what a hate crime is, and kind of going into a bit of our experience and what we see and are aware of in the world. Again, this is just our opinion and our views, and it's not necessarily the law, as it were, and it's the law that we're talking about is based in the UK. So from a hate crime in the UK perspective, and this is taken from the Met's websites and Metropolitan Police from London, easy for you to say. So a hate crime can fall into one of three main types: a physical assault, verbal abuse, and incitement to hatred. And a hate crime is defined as any criminal offence which is perceived by the victim or any other person to be motivated by hostility or prejudice based on a person's race, perceived race, religion or perceived religion, sexual orientation or perceived sexual orientation, disability or perceived disability, and any crime motivated by hostility or prejudice against a person who is transgender or perceived to be transgender. So that's what the definition is. Certainly, you know, there's a lot of hate in the world generally, but it can be categorised as a crime. What's your thoughts, Sam?
Sorry,
Sam's favourite expression.
That's one of my favourite expressions. So I feel like it's really good that we have that definition to kind of refer back to, so that if a crime has been committed and you can look at the motivation for that crime, you know, what is it based upon? I find it really sad that in this day and age, people still commit hate crimes based on those things, based on anything, to be honest. I definitely think it's been worse since Brexit. I think it's also been worse since Donald Trump has come into power, certainly in America. I think it gives a platform to people to air those views if they're seeing their leader on telly saying that transgender students can't use the toilets of the gender that they are. I think that breeds hate, and I think that then allows the common person to go out into the street and into their community and voice and air those opinions because they're seeing their leader doing it on the TV.
Yeah, and he also tweeted, and I don't know how enforced this is, but transgenders were being, Trump effectively banned them from serving in the forces, I believe. That's certainly what was in the media over here, and I'm by no means believing all the media because there's a lot of shit that gets printed which isn't true, but things like Viagra they can get as a prescription in the military. However, hormone therapy for people who are transitioned or transitioning was going to be banned.
Yeah, they give up their life potentially to serve their country.
Yeah.
Yet they're not entitled to the healthcare that other people get in the army. I think also in America, especially, I follow quite a lot of the actors and actresses on Pose, and a lot of them are identified as transgender or are transgender, and a lot of them, you know, report on the number of black transgender people that are murdered or go missing in America, and it's just not in the media, and it's so high, and it is just so sad. Yeah, so sad that nothing is done about it. And I just think, you know, this has all got a lot worse because people feel free to
incite hate.
Yeah, because they're seeing their leaders doing it. And if their leaders are doing it and not being called out for it and not being punished for it, then why would they believe that they were going to be punished for it? I think it's really, really sad. And I think that's why Pride is still so important and so relevant in this day and age. Yes, you know, it is legal to be a gay person in many countries, and it's also legal to get married or to have a civil partnership in many, many countries. But unfortunately, there are still 12 countries in the world where you can be punished for being a homosexual by death.
Yeah, it's hideous. And look, it upsets me, and it really, I don't know, it boils my blood and I'm tearing up just thinking about it. But just thinking that, like, how is love, like, how can love result in somebody being killed? You know, it doesn't affect other people's lives. It is completely, you know, a person's right and, you know, life.
Well, yeah, and a lot of the countries that are on the list that it is punishable by death are countries that a lot of Westerners visit. They openly visit those countries to work and to do business and to even leisure, you know, go on holiday or go to watch the Grand Prix or whatever. Like, take the UAE, for example. That's a hub. People fly. I've flown through the UAE before. Like, that's a place that you change to, you know, fly onto Asia or fly onto down to Australia and New Zealand. Like, that's a place that a lot of people go through, yet it is illegal to be gay there and it is punishable by death. Like, I think our country and countries where it is legal to be gay and it's legal to get married should be doing more to say to these countries, you know, how can you punish terrorism by death in your country, but you can also punish loving somebody
by death
by the same thing? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. It is absurd that people manage to rationalise that in their own heads and that they're happy for somebody to be killed as a result of them loving somebody of the same sex. I mean, I don't, because I live it, I breathe it, this is who I am day in, day out, I couldn't imagine being persecuted and feeling like my life was endangered just because of, you know, loving you. It's just insane to me. And that's one of the reasons that I'm passionate for when we go on holidays, that I only want to visit places that are accepting of me and us as a family unit. Like, especially when we have our child, like, it's really important that the impression that they get from the outside world is that of a loving, caring community. And that's when we go on holiday or whether we're in this country. I've been to America a few times and I didn't have any hate or any issues, so they were, you know,
there's, but there would be certain states that you probably absolutely wouldn't travel to because you know, I would be scared that somebody would feel that they had the right to say something to us about having a child or when we get married, being married, you know, like, obviously would travel to New York, the state of New York, absolutely, you know, because they have a massive gay community and always have done, like, it's not a thing there. Whereas if you were to travel to
Texas, potentially,
like, somewhere down south, like, you don't know. You just don't know what somebody's going to feel is appropriate for them to say to you or even to threaten you.
Yeah, and I think in any place which is accepting, you've always got a minority of people who spill hate and are still homophobic or transphobic and do not recognise or appreciate people who are, in inverted commas, other, not a straight white male or straight white female, or just hate people who are different, in inverted commas. And actually, you know, the minority is white and straight, really, if you look at the background of, you know, all of the ethnic minorities clubbed together, plus all the gay people, you know, African Caribbeans, everybody. If you club all of those together, actually the minority is white, straight people. However, they own the power and the effectively have managed to make the laws of the land and those countries, and people like Trump, where Obama paved the way and enabled gay marriage and was...
But he was also adverse to gay marriage.
Yeah.
Like he was before he didn't approve of it until his second term of being president. And I don't think a lot of people remember that. Like even he, somebody who was so open to change and wanted change, still had to be convinced that gay people should be allowed the same rights in, you know, one of the most progressive countries in the world. And one of the most progressive leaders of that country still had to be convinced that gay marriage should be made legal. And I think that's why it's really important that people that do live in a country where it's legal to be gay and it's legal to get married, I think it's very important if you are able to, that you are visible. And that's why when I started at my current job 6 years ago, I made it very, very clear to my employers that I wanted to be supported and I wanted to be myself. And I work with children who come from countries that are on that list of 12. Like I work with children from Afghanistan and Pakistan and Somalia who, you know, in their native countries or their parents' native countries, it is punishable by death to be gay. And I teach their children. And I am a positive, or I try to be, a positive role model for their children. And I talk about you, and I talk about our family, and I talk about what we do. And it's not, oh, me and my gay girlfriend have gone and done this. It's like, me and Ellie did this at the weekend. And just normalise it. And I think that's, you know, we're not saying to people you should come out and protest.
Fly your flag all the time.
You know. And call people out on Twitter or whatever. But I think just by doing small things, like by being visible, even in your day-to-day life, even if it's just with people that you know, imagine if that person then goes and has a conversation with somebody else that has come from one of those countries and challenges them on their views. That's how it's going to change. Not by, you know, violent protests and, I don't know.
And just getting into arguments with people on social media, it just doesn't. The person who's made a hateful comment or has been narrow-minded or prejudiced, they never leave those conversations from all of the things that I've seen thinking, oh, I have a renewed view and I actually now respect, you know, gay people or transgender people. They seem to just go in fighting and continue to fight throughout the whole
conversation. And it also just makes you look like a dick and it feeds into what they're saying, which is gay people are wrong. And it just doesn't look good and it's there forever for people to read. Whereas if you have a positive influence on a conversation, you know, even by saying, oh yeah, my girlfriend and I did this, you know, it's a totally normal thing, isn't it? Oh yeah, me and my girlfriend went to watch this film.
Yeah, and I think I've met thousands of people along my journey in life, just generally. And some people retrospectively have said, bloody hell, I didn't think I'd get on with you at all when I first met you. I'm 6 foot tall, which you probably can't tell from my voice. Built like a brick shithouse. Motorcyclist. Probably visually the most lesbian I could possibly ever be. But
I don't know if you had your eye piercing still in and maybe a neck tattoo, you know.
Yeah, I haven't just gone tip the scales a bit more. I used to have my eyebrow pierced, but that's long gone. But yeah, probably the stereotypical butch dyke in inverted commas ever. But actually, I'm campus tits. I'm like a big BFG or BFD, as I call myself, the big friendly dyke. And, you know, like, I'm quite an engaging person and can have a conversation. And actually, people retrospectively have said, God, Jesus, I was scared of you to start with, just on appearance. Or, God, I like thought you'd be... You know, they had their own narrow-minded view of how they thought I was or what my personality is. And then they've gone, bloody hell, you literally completely different person to what I thought. And I've never had to actively promote myself or be any different. I've just been me. And I think for a lot of people, that is changing more people's views and educating them than anything else.
You've never hidden. You've never hidden away from who you are. Whereas I spent most of my 20s hiding who I was because I was so terrified of people's judgments and people's perception of me that I hid, and that made me a really horrible person. I literally lived with my shame and my shame and my anxiety, and I was not a very nice person. You know, like, I didn't walk around like telling people to F off and stuff, but I was just not very happy. And the only time the real me ever came out was after I'd had one or too many shots of Jägerbomb.
I thought you were going to say one or two orgasms then.
You know, like, after my previous ex and I broke up, that's when I decided, fuck it. I am going to be myself. I am going to wear my hair the way that I want it. I'm going to have my tattoos. I'm going to dress the way that I want. And I don't think you and I would be together if I hadn't started being myself.
No, you looked hideous when you were pretending to be someone else. And it's not because you looked hideous, it's because you weren't authentic. And I could see that in pictures of looking at you in the past. Your eyes were kind of almost dead behind them. And I, you know, don't get me wrong, I didn't jump out of the womb and was fucking flying my flag about and getting involved in everything.
Maybe it wasn't a gay flag, but you're definitely flying something.
I come out of one vag and want to get a straight in another. But no, I was completely in at school. I knew in my head what, you know, the journey that I was going on, and I always thought I'd live a complete lie and pretend that I was straight outwardly to my family and friends and then secretly have, you know, partners. But actually, when I hit 16, I wanted to come out, and I came out, and it was probably, I don't know, probably 5 to 10 years maybe for me to really be comfortable with who I am and know me.
But during that time, did you experience any kind of homophobia or a hate crime?
Yeah, like, I've had kids in the street shout, "Oh, you fucking dyke." Yeah.
Like, has most of your homophobia been verbal homophobia? Or?
Yeah, I've never been beaten up, probably because of the size of me. I think, hopefully, touch wood, people will think, would like to think twice about, they might come off worse or actually get injured slightly from me. But certainly, you know, I've probably had more issues with companies that I have been homophobic. And they inadvertently managed to let me know. So I'll say who it is, because why the fuck not? So Connells, the estate agent, it's a nationwide company. Me and my ex split up, so I had to get her off my house. And so they came round to do a valuation. So they sent a valuation to my house and thought that it was appropriate to write on there Miss Dyke, which it wasn't appropriate. So I retrospectively... received that letter, thought, Jesus Christ, what the hell's going on? So I contacted their management centrally, who denied anything had happened. Effectively, there was probably about 10 emails that went from them to me trying to excuse what had happened, trying to say it didn't happen, that I'm a liar. It was on an envelope that was stamped with their company details, so they couldn't get away from it. I wrote to their CEO. Effectively, they wouldn't accept my complaint. I asked them to do, I asked to do a formal complaint, and I was complaining under the Equalities Act 2010, which is a very good act for you guys to quote and use if you've ever have any kind of issues with companies around sexuality or having any homophobia or transphobia against yourselves. And so I just went above them, and I went to the property ombudsman, sent them the details, complained to them, who then took my complaint forward. I sent all of the emails. There were some who seemed like a young, I don't know, probably early 20s guy who continually emailed in quite a sarky, aggressive way to me. So I just maintained professionalism, continued to email facts, and sent all of the evidence from this guy to the property ombudsman, and effectively got a complaint lodged and made sure that there was better training. They weren't allowed to tell me what happened to the guy, but when they did an investigation, they had found in my records for the sale of my house notes that say the dyke, and I was described all within the paperwork as the dyke for buying my house. Bearing in mind it was a few hundred thousand pounds that I'd handed over, so they did very well out of the commission for me buying the house. Bit of a piss take that they were behind my back describing me in that way. So
actually, to have written it down.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously any of that is terrible, but the fact that they wrote it down in official notes that were then stored within their company is outrageous.
Yeah, it's a fucking joke.
Absolutely outrageous.
So the good thing that's happened for everybody in, well, certainly in this country, GDPR, which is the new Data Protection Act, which means that you have the right to ask for all of the information that that company holds on you. So effectively, if you're worried or concerned or believe that they may be writing disrespectful or homophobic or transphobic things about you in their
or
records,
racist.
Or racist, yeah, absolutely, it goes across the board for everything, then request your details. Under the Freedom of Information Act, you can request those details. It's a request for information under GDPR, and they have to legally give you that all the information that they hold, and that's on your name, address.
And the ombudsman proved that you had been wrongly treated.
Yeah, absolutely.
They?
Yeah, they found the details, did a thorough investigation, and I was effectively communicating with the head of compliance in Connells, who continually tried to belittle it as well, but eventually managed to put them in their place. So these things happen, and I have no qualms about going against a large reputable company, because ultimately they're bang out of order. And for me, okay, it wasn't the most ideal thing. It was on my doorstep. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. It's just okay. But I certainly put to action and was not going to let that lie for shit, because some people would receive that and would probably curl up in a ball in bed and not want to fucking see the world, and that's not okay. So I took them to task on it.
That's, you're pretty much describing how I was at school after it came out. So the homophobia that I have experienced in my life kind of has kind of two stages to it. When I was at school, when I came out, a lot of people would spit at me.
Jesus,
when I was walking down the corridor and say things like, oh, there's that fucking dirty lesbian. They'd spit at me, or they would stand on the back of my heels and trip me up when we're in a crowded corridor, or they would kick me in the shin. I had one girl in a rounders lesson throw a rounders bat at me.
Kids are just absolute wankers, aren't they?
Yeah, and so that was kind of during year 10 and year 11, and that had quite a large impact on the way that I dealt with being gay, which was to hide. It was to hide until I got to university, and then I felt a lot more comfortable to kind of be,
Well, you're surrounded by bloody lesbians, right?
Yeah, good old Brighton Uni in Eastbourne, Eastbourne campus.
It's basically where all the PE teachers, who are lesbians, homage.
And I felt really safe in that kind of bubble. And then after I finished uni, I went to move to London. And I always felt very safe in London. I never experienced any homophobia in London whatsoever. I think it's a very, you know, cosmopolitan place. I lived in Zone 3. I mainly went out in Zone 2 or Zone 1, you know, like central London. And everybody just kind of gets on with what they want to do and nobody really cares.
Is central London where you go out? Is that out
in Soho, and everybody's so used to seeing gay people that it's just not really a thing. I mean, within my professional life, I've only worked at one school where I've been openly out, and that's the one that I currently work at. My previous school, as I've previously mentioned, my head teacher asked me not to be out with the children, which I found very, very difficult. Not on a religious basis, just that she didn't want to have to kind of deal with that from the parents. So, you know, I've experienced homophobia.
But that again reinforces you hiding, doesn't it? Because
But I have to say, the worst kind of homophobia or discrimination based upon my gender or how I look or how I present was when we went to the Steps concert in Wembley. So we went to see Steps at Wembley Arena. As you can imagine, most of the crowd were women and gay men. So going to the toilet before the concert was quite busy. I decided to wait until Steps were coming on. Ran down to the toilet, no queue. Went into the toilet, went into a separate cubicle, you know, went to the toilet, came out, was washing my hands. There was a few other women in there. The toilet attendant came in and started shouting at me. She was like, "Get out of the toilet, you're in the wrong toilet. This is the women's toilet, you should be in the men's toilet." And I was like, I am a woman. Now, bearing in mind, at that time, I was wearing, not that it even matters what I was wearing, but I was wearing skinny girl jeans, boots, and a polo shirt, and I have short hair. I mean...
And also, why does it matter? You're in your own cubicle. Like, nobody has a male and a female toilet in their own home. Yeah. Like, you go into a fucking cubicle, you have a piss, and you leave. Like, especially in places like that, it's just like, get in, get it done, get out.
And also, like, if you live and work in London, and you live and work in the entertainment industry, surely you would have some knowledge about the kind of people that are going to go to a Steps concert. And
you also, would like to think.
Nobody cares. Like, I genuinely do not care when there's a man that comes into the women's toilets. I don't care. You know. Well,
most when I go to Kylie concerts, I go to the men's toilet because I want to be talking to the gay guys about Kylie and I'm loving life.
When there are vulnerable, like, women that are in a toilet and then an actual man went in there, like, obviously there have been cases of, like, sexual assault and stuff, and I can understand that, but the thing is, in this day and age, there should be unisex toilets with a door opens out into the central area of the restaurant or the cafe or whatever, and then you shut the door and you have your own sink and your own toilet. That's the kind of toilets that we should have in this world, where nobody feels threatened to go into a toilet, regardless of their gender, disability, race, sexuality, whatever it is. Like, you're just going for a piss.
Yeah. Or like, a shit in some instances.
Or you're...
How people publicly shit in toilets, I have no idea, but...
But, you know, people shouldn't feel scared to go to the toilet. And, you know, so this stewardess woman came in and started yelling at me, and this other woman was like, "Oh my God, are you going to take that? You should punch her in the face." And I was like, "Well, no, I'm not going to do that, because then I'd be that angry lesbian, wouldn't I?" Me and this other woman laughed about it, and then I walked out. And it wasn't until I got back to our seats and I was standing next to you that I actually thought, "Oh my God, like, I've just experienced homophobia from somebody who's in a position of power or a position of..."
What is, like, gender, like, effectively misgendering in the toilets.
Yeah.
And why is it her fucking business? Is she the gender police? Is she the toilet police? No, she just works in an establishment and happened to go to the toilet herself.
I just burst into tears, didn't I?
Yeah.
Literally burst into tears. And normally, I've been misgendered many, many times in my life, as you have as well. Like, it really got to me. Really, really got to me. And so at the end, I'd never done anything like this in my life. I decided to go and say something to somebody, didn't I? We went and found the head of the stewards, who was absolutely shocked that this had happened. But she could also identify which steward it was.
Yeah.
She knew because she'd done it before. And so we sent an email and complained about it. And, like, we got free tickets to another event at the arena, which, ironically, when we went to that, you got misgendered when you went to the toilet.
I know, literally.
And it's just like...
I emailed them to complain, to say, look, there seriously needs to be some kind of training. Like, there's a training need here. Like, I got misgendered twice, didn't I? Mm. Once from security, the male and female were arguing as to which one should be patting me down, which was ridiculous. And I just said, no, she should be. That's fine, come on over. And even then she was trying to argue with me that he should. And I'm like, oh my Christ, like, sort your fucking shit out. And then when I went to go into the toilet, like, I can read, I understand what, you know, ladies and gentlemen are. I ain't a lady, but that's the toilet that I'm meant to go to. So that's the toilet that I was heading off to. So, I don't know what their rules are. Maybe your tits have to be a certain size, or they need to do a labia check to see what millimetre your labia have to be to labia to go in. I don't fucking know.
But it's just so bizarre. Like, you can't go into this room because you have the wrong genitals.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it is beyond me.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, the when you were mentioning about sexual assault, let's tackle the people that are doing the sexual assault. Like, that, they're the problem. People who are using the toilets, whatever gender they are just going to the toilet. So, you know, there needs to be some kind of, like, redress around how people are perceiving this whole toilet gate. It's just mental. So, yeah, we'd love to hear your stories, because sometimes they can be absolutely hilarious and other times they really do, you know, make you feel like absolute shit. So just when you're like, this is a normal human function, I need to get rid of my waste, and you're just in a queue going, oh, who's going to say something? Who's going to say something? So, yeah.
But it never happens in the men's toilet. If you're a girl and you go into the men's toilet, like, never have I ever had any issues with that whatsoever.
No, neither have I. But
nobody cares.
But then equally, I probably look more male than female. So when I don't look out of place when I'm stood in a queue for the men's. And let's face it, there's not very often a queue. You can just whiz on through to the trap.
I think men are just like, oh, I've got to have a piss. I'm having a piss. And now I'm done. Or, oh, I've got to have a shit. I'm having a shit. Now I'm done. There's none of this kind of like, oh, I'm going to look at somebody else and then they're going to look at someone else. And it just doesn't, it's just not like that. I just don't understand.
Unless you're a gay guy and you're creasing, they're definitely looking.
But do you know what I mean? It's just like, you go in, you go out. I just don't.
Yeah,
toilet politics. I hate it.
Yeah, I do too. And I have various lines depending on my mood as to what kind of response people get. Because I can vary from, yeah, I'm in the right toilet, to, I got tits and a vag, what toilet am I men are pissing? Or, why do lesbians have their own toilet? Which way is it? So it completely depends on the person, what, you know, what role they're fulfilling when they're there. Are they, like, working at that place? Are they just a general member of the public? I kind of, yeah. And it depends on my mood, because if I'm in, like, pissed off about something and somebody then decides to try and challenge me going into the toilet, then bloody look out, because I'm coming for you.
my favourite is, sorry, do you not want to wash your hands with me? I mean, that's the only thing you do in the toilet together, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wash your hands. You're not going to come in the cubicle with me.
Yeah.
That's weird. Just, no.
Do you not say, can I hold it for you? Yeah.
It's when they start to say something and then they realise that you're a girl and then they're like,
And I always push it and I'm like, sorry, what were you going to say? What? No, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Tell me. And then they get more and more awkward and I'm like, what were you going to say? You're really keen to say something then. No. Yep, you've backtracked. See you later. sometimes those kind of people don't even wash their hands. They just want to get the fuck out of there because they're so awkward. Or they stay in the cubicle because they're like, they need to leave because I'm so embarrassed. So yeah, give us a message on Insta or Facebook for your stories around anything comical that's happened around misgendering, if there is anything that can be comical around it, because hey, we've been there loads of times, and there are varying degrees of absolutely outraged to comical, so we'd love to hear them. Again, any experiences around hate or homophobia, you know, it's absolutely shit. Don't take it personally. You know, we've got a whole army of LGBTQ
and report
plus
it.
People.
Like, report it to the police, because the more these crimes get reported, the more visible they become, and the more, you know, the more likely it is that an MP or a police commissioner or somebody is going to have to do something about it. Because if we don't report it, it's not going to be seen as a problem, and it's not going to get sorted out.
Yeah, and also, if you don't want to report it as a crime, so going down the police route from a, you know, having to write a statement and the potential of going to court, if you search on the internet, you can actually just report it as a incident that happened, so it goes into stats, because it's really important that those incidents are captured and that they know that these kind of hate crimes or hate incidents are happening, and while it may not get investigated and filed as a crime, it's really important to make sure that those stats are out in the ether, because I'm sure it happens way more than is ever actually logged. So yeah, that's important. Anything else from you, my lover?
No, I'm good.
You all just done.
People should rate, review and subscribe and like our podcast so that more people can hear it.
Yeah, that would be fab, and we really hope you enjoy it. If you've got any topics, let us know. We've had a listener who's contacted us. Joe has asked if we can do something around our musical influences, so we're going to come up with something around that. So yeah, that's awesome.
Just thank you to all of the people that are listening to us. You know, we thought, well, I definitely thought, who on earth's going to listen to us two rambling on? But it's been really lovely to read your kind of messages of support and see all the likes. And yeah, it's just been really lovely. So thank you.
We're 3 days in and we've had 50 listens to our 3 episodes that we released. So, well, from my perspective, I'm chuffed a bit. And I think Sam is, judging by her beaming smile over there. So yeah, we really hope that you enjoy it, and do reach out, because we'd love to hear from you. That's us then. Latest, my lovers. Thanks for listening to Spill the LGBT. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, please rate, review, share and subscribe, as that helps other listeners find this podcast. For you fabulous, positive, constructive people, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. There you can help give us topics, link us to exciting people to speak with or interview, or give us things to discuss in future episodes. This is a podcast for our community, so want it to be engaging. Thanks very much. Latest, my lovers.